repentant heart says, I've sinned. It doesn't say, I've made some mistakes. We all make some bad choices. I have sinned against God, against heaven, and against you. I mentioned it. Jesus has already said, I tell you, there is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. That's where the joy comes, both in heaven and on earth. Repentant hearts know that sin ultimately isn't horizontal. Oh, we sin against each other plenty, but we're sinning against our Creator.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue in our short series called Lost and Found from Luke chapter 15. Pastor Scott brings a message titled Lost and Found, an Unrepentant Heart. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
You can be seated. It's great to worship with you, and I hope you can sing that with joy. All my wealth, my riches, my treasure is in Jesus Christ, the one who died and rose again on our behalf, the cross. Take your Bible and turn to Luke 15, Matthew, Mark, Luke. If you're new to the Bible, grab one there in front of you. If you don't have one, love to you to look at it with me. Luke wrote two volumes, Luke and Acts. Sometimes we say Luke, Acts, because he wrote a very comprehensive history of not only Jesus, but what followed. Luke, Acts. Luke 15. I said last week, someone said, the greatest story, the greatest short story ever written. And Lord, as we turn to your word right now, this whole book, the whole Bible, is the greatest story ever told. That you came to seek and to save the lost. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Don't let us just simply forgetfully hear, but we want to be impacted by your word, so we ask your Holy Spirit, the author, to speak to us right now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you try to say something's the greatest short story ever written, and then I only read half of it, I thought, wow, I read the first half. And we're going to read the whole thing, and I want to set the context. We've been looking, this is a fourth or fifth time in this wonderful chapter, where people were coming, sinners were coming. Verse 1, sinners were coming near to Jesus to listen to him. He had just said, the last verse of 14, if you've got ears to hear, hear. They're coming to hear. But the Pharisees, the religious ones, the self-righteous religionists, and the scribes began to grumble, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. And the balance of the chapter is Jesus addressing this criticism that was prevalent in the first century and just as prevalent today in the 21st century. And he tells a story, verse 3. He tells a parable. And he includes three stories. The lost sheep. A sheep is lost, wandering. All of us like sheep have gone astray. A lost coin, right at home, lost at home. Easy to be lost at home. In fact, there's 100 ways to be lost. You can be lost in rebellion. That's what we saw last week with the first half of this story. This whole theme is lost and found. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Today in this room, there's only two possibilities. A heart that's eager to hear from him, a soft heart, a teachable heart, or a heart that is hard. Lost and saved. Saved and lost. Jesus used those terms a lot. And I'm going to use a term that he used repeatedly in this chapter. An unrepentant heart or a repentant heart. Now, as we look at it, let's just read it. I'm going to pick it up at verse 11. He said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. And he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey and into a distant country. And there he squandered his inheritance, his estate, with loose, wild, debauched living. Now, when he'd spent everything, a severe famine came into that country. The economy changed. The climate changed. And he began to be in need. And he went and attached himself to one of the citizens of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. We talked about it. A Jewish boy feeding swine. He hit bottom. And he was longing to fill his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating. And no one was giving anything to him. And when he came to his senses, by the way, last week, the first half of this, a repentant heart. Today, the second half of this story, an unrepentant heart. So kind of keep it in mind as you listen. He came to his senses. And he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I'm dying here with hunger. He hit bottom. I'll get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned. A repentant heart says, I've sinned. It doesn't say, I've made some mistakes. We make some bad choices. I have sinned against God, against heaven, and against you. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. And he got up and he came to the Father. He didn't just come to his senses. I mentioned it. Jesus has already said, I tell you, there is joy in heaven over one sinner who resolves, no. Who rehearses what he might say, no. Over one sinner who repents, that's where the joy comes, both in heaven and on earth. So he came to his father, verse 20. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, he would not be deterred. I have sinned against God, against heaven, and against you. Repentant hearts know that sin ultimately isn't horizontal. Oh, we sin against each other plenty. But we're sinning against our Creator, our God. I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy. I am not worthy. The least of your favor, but Jesus left heaven for me. The Word became flesh and he died as my Savior, forsaken on dark Calvary. And that old song just comes to my mind. I'm not worthy. The least of your grace. But Jesus left heaven for me. The Word became flesh and died as my Savior, forsaken on dark Calvary. And as he's saying this, the Father interrupts and said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life. Again, he was lost and has been found." And he began to celebrate. That's the first half. The heart of the repentant one and the heart of God toward the repentant one. He saw him at a distance. He lost all sense of decorum in this story in the first century for a dad, a father with robes on and stuff, to just run. And he embraced him. He fell on his neck and he kissed him. That's who our God is. He loves repentance. He loves to see a sinner repent. And he said, he not only fell on his neck and kissed him, but he lavished his grace on him. Slaughter the calf. We're going to feast. Put the best robe on him. We're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. He says, put my ring on him. His signet ring. It's like giving him power of attorney, giving him all the wealth. He just lavishes on us. And he gives sandals to him to serve him. Well, I'll repeat myself. Well, I better read the whole story, huh? Or I'll start repeating myself. Now, his older son, was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things might be. And he said to him, "Your brother has come and your father has killed the fattened calf because he's received him back safe and sound." But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began entreating him. But he answered and said to his father, "Look, for so many years I've been serving you, and I've never neglected a command of yours. And yet you've never given me a kid that I might be merry with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who's devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "My child, you've always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to be merry and rejoice. This brother of yours was dead, and he's begun to live, and was lost, and has been found." Now, let me just walk through the second half of this. It's easy to stop, and I almost did it. You know, just stay with the first half. We've seen the repentant heart. We've seen God's heart toward a repentant sinner. But now, we're going to see an unrepentant heart. You see, I will repeat myself. There's 100 ways to be lost. There's only one way to be saved. Repentance. Repentance. You can't miss it in this chapter. We don't normally say that, do we? But Luke begins with repentance, ends when Jesus commissions them to go out and proclaim repentance. Acts, the second volume, starts, they said, "What should we do?" when they heard the gospel proclaimed on Pentecost, and he said, "Repent." And you go all the way through Acts, and you'll see that this matter is absolutely crucial. And it hadn't changed. God doesn't change. His dealings with men, his ways of dealing with us has not changed. So that often when we have baptisms, I'll hear one of my colleagues say, "Because you have repented toward God and placed your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because Paul went around, that's right out of Acts. Acts 20, when Paul summarized his ministry to the Ephesian elders, he said, I was solemnly testifying to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't separate them. Now, don't misunderstand this. God is the Savior. There's only one way to be saved, Jesus Christ. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the A to the Z of it. But he never saves anyone without repentance. He always, and I often say, hey, don't use those words never and always lightly. But I'm using them intentionally. He always creates a heart of repentance. Where there's saving faith, there will be repentance. Now, remember, this is a parable as we jump into the second half. And you'll often hear me say, because to me it just speaks, don't try to make a parable crawl on all fours. Parables are stories meant to illustrate truth. They're not really where we build our doctrine. They will often enforce and fortify doctrine. But the reason I say that is because all the way through this chapter, you'll hear people make mistakes, big time mistakes, as if there's really 99 sheep. Just because he used sheep as an illustration doesn't mean he's talking about my sheep. And he said, 99 sheep who don't need repentance. There's no such thing as a person who doesn't need repentance. There's none who seek God. No, not one. There's none righteous, not even one. And so all the way through this, remember, it's a parable. I hear well-meaning, sincere Christians even talk about these two sons as, well, they're both sons, and this guy living out in the pigsty, living in immorality, living any way he wants, he was still a son, praise God. No, this whole chapter is about the lost ones being what? Saved. So don't overpress the details in a wrong way. And same could be said about this other son. Well, I mean, the father said, he's my son, you've got everything I own. I'd be real careful saying that. It's very solemn to read this chapter where Jesus is defending and explaining why he came. It's a very solemn thing to miss that he's talking about the lost being saved and the joy. Rejoice with me, I found my sheep. Rejoice with me, I found my coin. I tell you, Jesus said twice, in the same way, there will be great joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. But it's very solemn to read from verse 25 onward and hear of no lost being found, no repentance, and no joy. So let's take a look at it with this older brother, verse 25. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things might be. And he said, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he's received him back safe and sound. Informed of the salvation of the younger son, informed of a lost one found, we're going to watch his response. And actually, we're going to see seven characteristics of an unrepentant heart. Seven characteristics of a lost one. You know, I was tempted, and I know nobody pays any attention to what I title my sermons anyway, because half the time I change it when I get up here. But, you know, we're in this lost and found. A lost sheep, a lost coin, a lost son. And I was tempted to just call this lost. Lost. But instead, I called these last two a repentant heart and an unrepentant heart. So seven characteristics of the lost, seven characteristics of an unrepentant heart. We want to go to school. You know, they tell me, I never got very far in biology, but they tell me that those who study life, bios, life, biology, you spend a lot of time looking at cadavers. In fact, that's what washed me out of biology. I didn't like the smell in my high school biology room. Dead frogs. But you can learn a lot by looking at an unrepentant heart about what real repentance is. And I plead with you, listen to me. Listen to the Lord here. First characteristic, verse 28. When he hears the gospel, when he hears the good news that this lost one has been found, his response, verse 28, anger. He became angry and was not willing to go in. Now remember what Jesus is telling this story for. Verse 2. The Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling. He eats with he receives them. He eats with them. They were disgusted with him, with Jesus. And this guy's response is anger. Look back at chapter 5 of Luke. Chapter 5, verse 27. After that, he, Jesus, went and noticed a tax collector named Levi sitting in the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he left everything behind and rose up and began to follow him. And Levi, a lost one who was found, a tax collector, Levi gave a big reception for Jesus in his house. And there was a great crowd of tax collectors and other people who were reclining at table with him. And the Pharisees and their scribes began grumbling at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus' response, verse 31, Jesus answered and said, "It's not those who are well who need a physician." He changes metaphors. "But those who are sick. I've not come to call righteous men, but sinners to repentance."
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled "Lost and Found, an Unrepentant Heart," a message from the 15th chapter of Luke's Gospel. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. If you don't have a church home in the area, we'd like to invite you to join us for our outdoor summer services. Coming this August 14th at 5 p.m., join us for our International Night. The field will be covered with booths representing tasty foods from all over the world. The event will be followed by our outdoor evening service at 6 p.m. For more information about the International Night or any of our summer events, go over to our website at swbible.org, or you can call the church at 503-524-7000. We hope to see you there. Something we've been making available as a thank you gift to our listeners are USB flash drives loaded with Bible teaching series in their entirety. So currently, we're offering the recently completed entire book of Hebrews. That's 80 full-length messages, over 50 hours of clear, Christ-centered Bible teaching on this important book in the New Testament. We'd like to make these teachings available to you, our listeners. Just make your request, along with your gift of any size, to the ministry of Downtown Bible. You can do that during regular business hours by calling 503-524-7000, or by mail at P.O. Box 19191, Portland, Oregon, 97280. You can also simply click on Contact Us at downtownbible.org anytime. We'd love to put one of these valuable resources in your hands. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
Self is one of the biggest issues that keeps people lost. And we live in what kind of a day? Self. It's all about me. Do your own thing. Self. Self-righteous, self-satisfaction, self-complacency, self-absorbed, selfishness, selfism. Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, he said, listen, in the last days, there's going to be pressured times. Because men will be what? Lovers of self rather than lovers of God. But self-occupied. I want to celebrate with my friends. I've kept your rules. I've never let you down. I, me. Lost ones are characterized by self-occupation.
Join us again next time as we continue in Luke 15. Pastor Scott brings part 10 in our series with a message titled, Lost and Found, an Unrepentant Heart. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.